Hey, welcome to Serenity Church. I hope I can reciprocate that excitement and hype that y'all are. So we got Bibles, bulletins, and pens that need to be passed around. I know that bulletins weren't passed around or handed in when you walked in, so raise your hand if you haven't got one. The sermon is something I want you to take home and practice upon. As like any other sermon that I preach up here, I want you to practice it, not just hear what I got to say. So, the sermon's going to start in Acts 12, right at the top of the chapter. I'll just go ahead and dive into it. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church and tended to persecute them. He had James, the brother John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison. He's guarded by a bunch of soldiers. I can't find my spot. And Herod tended to bring him to the public trial after Passover. So we got the scene set here. Peter's in prison because of his beliefs. The one thing I want you to know is that Peter is in prison. Peter's in prison. So I'm going to go and jump to Romans 12, 3 through 8. You ain't got to go. I'm just going to tell you what Paul is talking about here in a second. It's just basically Paul's illustrating that as a church, we make up the body. And each member of the body has a different function, and we all make up the body of Jesus. And also, Paul talks about we ought not to think highly of one another. We have equal dignity and we have equal talents. We have, or not equal talents, but we all have a purpose to serve Jesus. But what first stood out to me was verse 5. Verse 5. So in Christ we have many, who are many, form the body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to all the others. And this immediately thought made me think of this quote by Mother Teresa. This is your first note, so write this down. And it says, today, if we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. And it's a very humbling quote for me to hear because I can't think highly of y'all, and I need y'all.
Yeah.
I need you. Y'all need me. I need y'all. Yeah. I don't care if you got saved this year. You know less than the Bible about than me. If you know less than the Coda journey than me, I need you. I need you, and we need to stick together. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul talks about this illustration again, but what stood out to me is something he said more in depth, I guess. 25, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. One part is honored, every part rejoices with it.
Amen.
And this reminded me of another quote. This time it was from the movie Coach Carter. Write this down. We're a team. One person struggles, we all struggle. One person triumphs, we all triumph.
Amen.
That was said after, real quick, I guess in the movie where this guy owed suicides and push-ups in order to stay on the team. He didn't meet the quota, so then one guy said that. We're going to do those, the rest of what he could not do.
Right.
We're going to do that. I'm about to nerd out here for a second. I honestly really love Lord of the Rings. That's probably my favorite trilogy. So if you don't know what the story is, basically there's a ring, and it has a lot of power, and it's evil, and whoever touches it, holds on to it, gets corrupted.
Yeah.
The longer you hold on to it, the more you don't want to let it go. Sounds like sin.
Yeah.
And This ring needed to be destroyed, so this guy Frodo is like, all right, I'll go and destroy it to Mordor. I'll go out to Mordor and destroy it, but he could not do it alone. So he had his friend Sam through most of the journey. Well, Frodo being the ring bearer and carrying this burden on behalf of humanity, it sounds like part of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
The ring ended up corrupting Frodo, and to the point that he could not walk at some points. He was physically exhausted. And I love what Sam said, his friend Sam. He said, "I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you."
Yeah.
And then that reminded me of Mark chapter 2, 1 through 5. And I'm just going to tell you what happens again. So basically, Jesus is preaching, and a big crowd comes through. And this paralytic and his friend, paralytic and his friends were carrying him to Jesus, but they could not get through the crowd. So, but they were determined by any means to get him to Jesus, to the point that they decided to climb a roof, tear the roof, and lower him down to Jesus.
Amen.
And then what Jesus said in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven."
Amen.
When Jesus saw their faith, their faith more than likely means the friend's faith.
Mm-hmm.
The friend's faith. So your next note, will you help someone to Jesus or just be a part of the crowd?
Ooh.
And I'm also by no means implying that you have to drag somebody or carry somebody to church or meetings. I'm just trying to say that there's ways to carry somebody. One way that I can think of is prayer. It's called intercessory prayer. And it's defined by the act of praying to God on behalf of others. Not just praying for the person, but praying for that person what they're struggling to say. That's also needed to be done with the Holy Spirit. We can't do that without the Holy Spirit, by the way. But there's a church slang for this called stand in the gap. It's called stand in the gap. But the act of praying to God on behalf of others. And this hit me because I knew I wanted to talk about this for a while, but I realized that I don't do this.
Yeah.
It's always me, 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 me.
Mm.
So I'm like, what about the people that are heartbroken right now? I don't ever pray for them. There's people out there struggling, and I could care less, apparently. But in reality, when I pray for them, not only I get blessed, but they can get blessed, being selfish with my blessings. And here's the next note that I got for you. Intercessory prayer can create deeper relationships.
Amen.
The act of praying for somebody on their behalf can create deeper relationships. And this is intercessory prayer is so important, you know, and it's all over the Bible too. It's in Job, or Moses did it, Samuel. I almost went with Esther, but because nobody talks about Esther. Jeremiah, Daniel, Paul, Abraham. I'm gonna stop there because of the long list. Praying for other believers. But it's just not just believers. What about those that need Jesus or are missing out on everything that he has to offer? Coworkers, friends, family. I hate that I didn't put it, but I hate that this is on here. Enemies.
Yeah.
I hate that this is on here too. What about the POTUS? Or any politician? That matter.
Oh.
Now that one hurts. I don't pray for the president, but I should. Not just any of them, but all of them.
Right on.
Communities that hate us. Communities that love us. The ninth step, other churches as if we're a body.
Mm-hmm.
Intercessory prayer. The rest of the story in Acts 12. Oh, I lost it. Hold on. Acts 12, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him.
Amen.
That night before Herod was was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Bound with two chains. This is what prayer can do. My dad always says, for a year and a half, I've been hearing my dad say, "Mijo, we need to pray for every solution. We need to pray, mijo." Yeah. And I was like, okay, yeah, dad, sure. But after this season of prayer, I was like, man, prayer is a weapon.
That's right.
Prayer is one of the more powerful weapons that we could have as a church. Right. Not just us, but as a church. It can apparently break chains.
Yeah, come on.
It can break chains, cycles. It can help anybody in the pit that they're in. Verse 7, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandal," and so on. He escapes prison. And it says the church was praying earnestly. That happened because the church gathered to pray. So this was a short sermon, right? Because I'm going to invite the band to come up. Mm-hmm. The title of the sermon is, "We Don't Wait."
Amen.
We don't wait. Where does that come from, if you don't know? In Overcomers, when somebody asks for prayer, we pray for them. So that's what we're about to do, is gather as a church and intercede on behalf of people that we think about, they could use some help. Yeah, I'll pray for you, and we're going to pray for them. And we're going to gather as a group, individual groups. Whatever that person, place, or thing, whatever, pray for that person. And also, I know this is going to sound uncomfortable because we're going to gather in groups and all that. Just know, Wanda said it earlier, just give God what you can.
Right on.
Give God what you can. It doesn't have to be an amazing prayer. It doesn't have to be like, in the name of Jesus, we bind every single... No. Just do what you can.
Right.
Jesus, right before he's about to feed 5,000, he asked the disciples, "What do you have?" He's like, "Well, here's what we have. I don't know how we're going to feed 5,000. He's like, "That's all I needed."
Yeah.
So give what you can in prayer.
Yeah.
So let's get to it. We don't wait.